The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Anyone in the state of Arizona who takes Middle Eastern history seriously takes my guest, Mayor Jolovitz, seriously. I consider him a teacher. Many in this audience and beyond do as well. I opened the show reading an op-ed, a piece, really an essay he wrote to commemorate the memory not only of his family and parents, but what is today International Holocaust Memorial Day, Remembrance Day. Mayor Jolovitz is, among many things, the past National Executive Director of the Zionist Organization of America. Many of you hear him on Saturdays on the show Middle East Radio Forum, heard right here. Mayor, my teacher, thank you for joining us, and thank you for that essay that I referred to earlier.
I'm honored. Thank you very much. Just one correction.
Yes, sir.
Middle East Radio Forum does appear on 960 The Patriot, but it's on Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. I apologize. Sunday. Thank you for the correction. Sunday's at noon, where you are often hosting and guesting. Mayor, I don't know where to start here. There's a massacre at a Jerusalem synagogue, killing at least seven. I see that there are massive celebrations in the streets of Israel. You know, I guess I started reading your essay. Last time I was in Israel a couple years ago, I went through Yad Vashem, and a couple next to me, non-Jewish, walking out, said, the husband said to the wife something haunting. He said, "Now I know why Israel has nuclear weapons." Mm-hmm. What's going on, brother? What's going on in Israel right now?
Well, allow me to begin with this, because there's such a misunderstanding about everything, about the conflict, about the language. I often, during my lectures, talk about the fact that language is so important,
yeah,
because language defines the narrative, and the narrative always directs the debate. In this particular case, we seem to pretend that there are two potential peace partners in the Middle East, Israel and its adversaries, and the right buttons simply need to be pushed in order for us to arrive at that peace. I've been lecturing now for almost 50 years. Peace is not only improbable, it's impossible, for reasons which I'll explain ever so briefly. But I do want to quote Eric Hoffer, a brilliant mind, who once said, and this applies to so many things that we experience in life, he said, "We lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves."
Ah, mm-hmm.
And those people who speak of a potential peace, here it is, we had Blinken, the Biden administration is scolding Israel, telling Israel that Israel needs to offer more concessions in order for the Arabs to be somehow placated. Well, the formula in the Middle East has been for some time, including programs which have been proffered by the so-called friends of Israel. And I refer to all these Western diplomats, these Western leaders, and quite a number, most American Jewish organizations, as so-called friends of Israel, when in reality they aren't. What they do is they push for this terrible thing called the two-state solution, which I've often referred to as the two-state illusion or two-state delusion, which basically suggests that Israel has a peace partner. Israel does not have a peace partner. The only formulas that we've had in the past, since Oslo in September 13, 1993, have been ones which have suggested that peace in the Middle East will come when the Israelis give and the Arabs take. The history of those agreements, or the failed agreements as well, is that Israel does indeed give concession after concession, and the Arabs take, and there's no peace.
Yeah, we don't have to go back too far. Israel removed itself lock, stock, and barrel from Gaza, and they placed Hamas.
Exactly right. In August of 2005, Israel was called by that wonderful name, Israel's unilateral disengagement from Gaza.
Yeah.
Israel pulled out not only every one of the soldiers that were stationed in and around Gaza, They tore down 24 Jewish communities. They uprooted 14,000 Jewish, they call them settlers, Jewish residents of Jewish towns, forcibly evicting them. They turned it over to Gaza. Gaza, there's, when people talk about, AOC talks about the occupation of Gaza. It's occupied by Hamas.
Yeah.
There is no Israeli presence in Gaza. And by the way, to come back, and I must, when we talk about Gaza, talk about the two-state illusion. The people, and I'm talking about the liberal Western world, talks about a two-state solution necessary to bring about peace in the Middle East. What would those two states be? One would be Israel, with the presupposition, of course, that the other would be Palestine. Where and what would Palestine be? Palestine would be the confederation of the West Bank, or as it should be rightly called, Judea and Samaria, and also Gaza. Well, how would those two confederate? They're at war with each other most of the time.
Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Really, I got to take the break. Hold it right there. Let's pick up on that on the other side of this break. Mayor Jolovitz is our guest. He and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Mayor Jolovitz is a one of the most popular educators in our community on the Middle East. You often hear him on Middle East Radio Forum, heard here Sundays at noon. He is the past National Executive Director at the Zionist Organization of America, talking about what's taking place in Israel today in this quest for a two-state solution. Mayor, you were just before the break getting into presumably a two-state solution would be Israel and an Arab state. I believe you were about to go into the problem of that state sandwiching Israel with two different factioning parties, but let me not speak for you. You talk to us about that point.
Yeah, I'll dismiss it as quickly as I can by saying this, and it's quite obvious. The term that's most often used in describing why there's a conflict between Arab and in Jew in the Middle East, they talk about certainly Israel's adversaries, its enemies, they talk about occupation. By occupation, most of the people that I'm sure any guests that you've had on the show that would talk about occupation and where the lines need to be drawn in order for the peace to be found, they talk about the occupation that came following the Six-Day War, 1967. That's what the Western world refers to by occupation. When Antony Blinken talks about Israel having to go back to the pre-67 lines, that is, by the way, the State Department's policy, they talk about Israel giving up the occupation, as they did in Gaza in 2005. For the Arabs, it's a completely different mindset, and this is where we have a complete misunderstanding of the core of the conflict. For the Arabs, the occupation wasn't from 1967. The occupation began in 1948. In July of this past year, when Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, stood shoulder to shoulder with Joe Biden, he told Biden that he, Mahmoud Abbas, speaking on behalf of the Palestinian people, wanted the United States to help remove Israel from its occupation, which at the time, he said, is 74 years old. That was his number, 74 years old, which brings us, of course, to 1948. If you watch Arab media, social media, it's television, it's radio, it's newspapers, it's Facebook, they talk about the occupation having begun in 1948, which was when the modern state of Israel was reestablished, when it was established. For the Arabs, therefore, it must be understood that peace for them is without Israel. It's with the occupation, meaning Israel proper, eliminated. And there's a very simple way of proving this. If the 1967 war created the occupation, as everyone in the Western world believes that it did, why was there no peace in 1966 or 1962?
Let me ask you this question. Mahmoud Abbas comes out of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. Why was it founded in 1964?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
It was founded 3 years chronologically before Israel, to use their term, occupied the territories. But nobody asked the question. By the way, the PLO, the PA, which is it's the cosmetic name for the PLO, which still exists, basically still adheres to the PLO covenant, its charter, which basically says in 33 articles, many of them explicit, others implicit, using euphemisms, calling for the destruction of the State of Israel. It was only about 8 months ago when a senior official of the Palestinian Authority was asked, is the covenant still relevant? And his answer was, it will always be relevant.
Yeah, it's a covenant.
And Hamas, of course, in 1988, has its own covenant. Yeah. And mind you, the word covenant is more often used more so than charter because of the holy implication that's assigned to the destruction of Israel. And so when we are honest enough, when intellectual integrity allows us to actually say, what is the occupation that bothers the Arab? It isn't 1967.
Yeah.
It's 1948, which means Israel's very existence.
Israel has turned back some 90-plus percent of land since 1967 in any regard, hasn't it?
It has. In fact, if you bring up percentages, there are a couple of failed attempts by Israeli prime ministers to give back what they said. Ehud Olmert was one. Before him, it was Ehud Barak, in which they scratched their heads and couldn't understand why, when they offered respect originally Yasser Arafat and later his successor Mahmoud Abbas, and they said, this is the Israeli spokesman saying, we don't understand. We offered them 96% of the occupied territories, and with Ehud Olmert, he said 98% of the occupied territories, and the Arabs still said no.
Yeah.
And the reason is because even the Israeli prime ministers are too foolish to admit that they weren't offered 96% of what Mahmoud Abbas believed was occupied.
Yeah.
In fact, in a speech that he gave a year ago, he used the number, which was incorrect if you do the math. He said the Israelis have only offered us 11% of what is ours. He was referencing, of course, that all of Israel belonged to him.
Yeah.
If one sits with a calculator that has a battery in it, you can do the math, and what Israel has offered them in giving back 96 or 98% of what was, again, called occupied, is actually, in the lexicon of the Arab world, only 19%. These are two adversaries. There's not to be a meeting of the minds. And anyone who believes that that's going to happen is going to be, you know, set up for disappointment.
Yeah, let me connect that dot.
I lecture on a weekly basis. And, in fact, this coming lecture that I'm going to be doing, I list 14 different peace agreements, which were the result of a peace process, which failed. And one by one by one, they failed. Israel gives, the Arabs get. Israel gives, the Arabs get. Because Israel isn't willing to yet commit suicide. The Arab plan, by the way, is quite clever. And they learned this from Sadat. They learned that you can get more through diplomatic means than you can through a war.
Mm-hmm.
And by diplomatic means, I'm talking about a peace process, as fraudulent as it might be. And so what the Arabs have done is they've replaced the tanks with let's sit down in Geneva and negotiate Israel's demise. How does that happen? We will ask, first of all, for Israel to be truncated to its pre-67 borders, which, by the way, are the same borders for anyone who knows his or her history. It's the 1949 armistice lines. So Israel is being asked to go back to what Abba Eben once called the Auschwitz borders, and then the Arabs tell us we will then negotiate the future terms.
Mayor, I
Israel
only have about.
We need to say no.
I only have
they
about
need
two.
To say no.
I have
Israel
about. I have about 2.5 minutes left. Let me connect a dot, or have you connect a dot, a couple dots for
Please.
Us. I had a guest earlier who left Lebanon because she said civil war had destroyed that country. It's an interesting implication when you think about what's asked of Israel with its peace partners. Israel wasn't the cause or involved in the civil war in Lebanon, and yet it's asked to do exactly what could not be done with Lebanon and was the destruction of a once beautiful country. Might you say a word about that in the next 2 minutes?
Yes. Quite simply. Lebanon is a perfect example. Lebanon was once considered the Switzerland of the Middle East, as far as the Arab world is concerned. There was a measure of parity politically between the Muslims and the Christians. And if you want to talk about ethnic cleansing, the Muslims are the experts. Bethlehem, we just had Christmas. Bethlehem, in 1950, Bethlehem had an 82% population. The town of Bethlehem, 82% Christian. Today it's 12%. Ethnic cleansing by the Muslims. One last word. The peace partner that we speak about, Mahmoud Abbas, has a pay-for-slave program in which they incite support and then pay the families of terrorists who might have who might have been neutralized, is the word, they paid them a lifetime stipend for having killed Jews. And there's actually a legend, a formula, depending upon how many Jews you kill, where you kill them, and so on and so forth, that they are paid to murder Jews. This program being run by Mahmoud Abbas, Israel's potential peace partner.
Peace, peace, but there is no peace. Mayor Jolovitz,
yes,
you are a
exactly
you are
right.
a treasure. You are a treasure. Thank you, sir. Thank you for
Thank
your
you
essay
much,
today.
Seth,
Thank
and,
you for your friendship. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for all you do. I am Seth Leibson. I'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.